Hello, and welcome to Focus on Business. I'm your host, Lee Strickland. On today's show, I'm flying solo because I want to talk about several issues that I'm getting emails and questions from clients and readers and listeners. And those topics are the stock market and the effect on the economy and how's that going to impact their business, and how to grow that business, how to increase profits regardless of the economic times, regardless of what's going on out there. People will always be transacting, looking for products and services to live their daily life and to grow their businesses. So let's start today's show by talking about the volatility of the stock market in the past 10 days or so and how all of that's impacting our businesses on Main Street and not just Wall Street. So when we look at the economy, we're out there competing for resources. And with the volatility of the stock market, I can remember, and I'm going to age myself, back when I was in college and in my first finance class back in 1983, you can do the math, the professor asked the question, did we ever think the stock market would go over 1,000 points? And my answer to him, well, was sort of the duh answer. We didn't duh back then, but it was like, well, of course it is. There's a lot of factors. Time's going to go on. And the fundamentals underlying the stock market were good. Yesterday, we heard several people talking about the fundamentals of the stock market, the fundamentals of the economy. And Carly Fiorina, one of the Republican contenders for the presidency, was talking about the fundamentals. She knew there was going to be a stock market correction because the fundamentals underlying the stock market weren't that great. And so what are those fundamentals in a world of connectivity where what happens in China impacts what happens on our New York Stock Exchange, which impacts the NASDAQ, the S&P, the Nikkei? We're interconnected. We're trading. We're doing business. Big corporations and small businesses on Main Street are impacted by the global economy, transacting, competing for customers. And what does that mean when we're also competing for capital? Well, it gets back to a number of factors. So what are those fundamentals? Typically, we invested in the stock market or the bond market as sort of a trade-off. Back in the 80s, when I was studying this in school and in the 90s at grad school, we looked at the stock market and generally said when the stocks went up, bonds went down. When stocks went up, gold and other commodities that were investment alternatives went down. When gold was up, the stock market tended to be down. Now we're not seeing that. There seems to be a disconnect. The value of stocks don't always reflect in our current markets the actuality of what's going on in those businesses, what's going on in the economy. Job growth, local economies. North Carolina may be growing, not because North Carolina is doing as great as it could be, but is doing better than the other states or other regions. And so what happens is a comparative effect. An individual stock may outperform other stocks because it's doing better. Its fundamentals, its underlying business model, its ability to generate revenue, dividends, to grow, to have cash, to be in business and continue to grow the business is there. Not as great as it could be, but it's better than the others and the alternatives out there. And yesterday in the stock market, we sort of saw that. We saw that initial, in the first 15 minutes, a plunge of over 1,000 points, which had not been seen before. And the day recovered. We see today that Germany and some of the other indices in Europe recovered, but we saw China continue to fall by over 7%. And the question is, why do I care as a small business owner, as someone on Main Street, care about that? We care for a number of reasons. Our retirement accounts are often invested. Our 401k plans, those kind of things, are invested in the stock market. But also we care because the stability of the economy reflects how hard it is for us to grow our businesses in a number of ways. Our businesses grow because there is demand. Someone has a need for the product or service that we have, and they have cash. They have some kind of transactional monetary amount, cash or credit, that they can access to make those purchases. Whether that's a house, a car, or consulting services like I provide through my company. when that cash gets crunched because of actual pressure on the amount of money we can have available, when we're competing for capital in the debt market, when we're competing against our own government for money to borrow, when interest rates are pushed so artificially low that lenders don't really want to lend because they're not going to make money over time or as much money as they think they should be making, capital becomes scarce. And we start to see that reflected in concerns in the stock market. Whether you think yesterday was a bubble or you think it's going to happen again, it's going to be a correction, or you think it's going to go further down, or you think it's going to come back. Whatever those assumptions you have impacts your behavior on how you would invest in the stock market, your expectations of the economy, and your expectations for your business. And as a consumer or a business-to-business purchaser, it also affects how much money you're willing to put out there to meet your needs. It may drive the price down that you want to pay. It may mean you're buying fewer things of what you need, and you start distinguishing between a true need and a want and a nice to have. So how do we grow when there's volatility in the market, when there's uncertainty in the economy, when there's potential changes to regulations that are rolling out practically on a daily basis, when taxation rules may be changing or the taxation rates may just be going up? In times of uncertainty, which seems to be all the time right now, things are changing. The good is not as great as it could be, and the bad sometimes seems more than we can handle. What we have to do in our business is learn from those conversations of what fundamentally makes a good, profitable business, one that someone would want to invest in, one that someone would want to do business with, one that someone would trust. And so we have to learn how to grow our business and be wise in choosing the opportunities we pursue and in how we invest the limited capital that we have available from Wall Street or from our customers on Main Street. With the customers that I'm working with now on growth plans, our starting point, ground zero for the foundation of what fundamentals are making our business strong and what issues are we having that are making our results less than ideal that could weaken our business. We start with an analysis of our current financials, operationals, and customer base. I'm constantly surprised how few businesses actually know where their money comes from. I'm going to share a story of one of our local companies based in Raleigh that I've worked with in the past. And this was over a $20 million business. They were half business-to-business, commercial, private sector business, and half government business. And they were profitable. They were making a couple million a year in profits before taxes, which is great, right? 10% profitability on $20 million. But when we started analyzing their business and looked where their profit really came from, we had to sit down and look at the financials and say, where are the revenues coming from? Where are the costs of supporting this coming from? And matching up. In this case, this business was a service provider. They placed people in other businesses, including the government, to fill roles on a contract basis. So they could have some IT people. They might have cleaning people. Whatever type of service a particular governmental client needed or a private sector client needed. So when we started looking at the contracts, we noticed something significant. The business was literally almost exactly 50-50 government and private sector clients. So when we started looking at how many employees in this business supported each sector, how many were necessary and were directly working on private sector clients, how many people were in support and supporting the government contracts? And what was the cost of each person that was going out to a client to fill a full contract, the actual versus what had been budgeted or quoted in the contract proposal that they were able to bill the client for? The lesson the client learned in looking at their financials and creating a cost structure that reflected the activity that generated the cost. Making a match between this is my revenue and this is my cost to produce that revenue created a different picture than the business owner thought he had. The reality was half his business, the private sector, was actually generating $4 million in profits on $10 million. His $10 million of government contracts was losing $2 million a year, primarily because the price he would quote in a contract and be awarded in the contract was actually much higher in actuality. So he might put in a cost of $20 per hour for someone, and he was paying $35 or $40 for that person in a specific market. And so we looked at that business and came to understand that if he was a $10 million business, he would have $4 million in pre-tax profits. But being a $20 million business, he was only making $2 million. And so the requirement was to look at what could change to do that. The contracts could not be changed with existing government business. But when it came time to rebid those contracts, what costs needed to go in there and what price was going to be on that contract? And what was that minimum price that he was going to offer and be willing to lose that sale but gain more profitability? It was quite a shock for him to understand that he could become a smaller business and have higher profit than if he stayed at a $20 million company. He goes, I'd be half the size. And I said, you'd be twice as profitable. So we looked at making the tough decisions and him backing off on doing those contracts. He would either up them so that he was profitable when he did the bidding process and win them at that price, or he would forego bidding, he would forego accepting a contract that was not profitable. And so that also just caused us to take another step. And looking at each individual customer's profitability, even in the private sector, and understanding which customers, which products, which lines of business were the most profitable for him. And why did that matter if that side of the business was making $4 million in profit on $10 million? It mattered because he wanted to grow his business back to that $20 million level. And so how was he going to do that? It's by understanding who your customer is that buys from you at a profit. What are the demographic characteristics of that business or that consumer? What is their need? How often do they buy? How much are they willing to spend? How long have you done business with them? What incentives, if any, do they have to have? What type of after-purchase support, customer service do they expect? By understanding who your profitable customers are and how you need to serve them, how to provide value that actually exceeds their expectations and still gives you a profit, means that you can grow your business by finding more customers like those. So in getting to understand your customer, it begin your profitability, you have to start with understanding your current results. Which customers are most profitable? Which products or services are the profitable lines of your business? How do costs get incurred in your business? I used to work in the automotive industry, and as an automotive supplier to the original equipment manufacturers like Ford and Toyota and all those, we had to understand that some customers were higher maintenance than others. In other words, Toyota took more customer service and more support people than, say, Ford Motor Company did. And we had to understand that. And so while they might be paying the same price, we wouldn't necessarily make the same amount of money on them when we looked at our total cost of doing business with those customers. As long as we were still profitable, we were going to go after those profits. But when selling to a customer causes you to lose money, you need to step back and decide strategically, why would you continue to sell that product, that service, or to that customer? And what can you change in how you serve that customer to maintain value and quality, but to reduce your costs so your profits can come up? So the more you can understand your business, how it works, what your customers expect, why they buy, what they value, what they need, that's your first source of information as to how your business can grow. And so it's really important to understand that. And when we come back from a break, we're going to talk about how you can grow your business and the next step about what happens when you understand your current results and how those fundamentals can help you grow your business in any marketplace. You're listening to WCOM FM LP Chapel Hill and Carrboro, and this is Focus on Business. I'm your host, Lee Strickland, and today we're talking about how to grow your business regardless of the economy and other factors out there. No matter how difficult it may be, we can be successful, profitable, and growing our business in a down economy or one that's struggling to recover. And so before the break, we were talking about how to analyze our existing financial information and results to identify the customers, the lines of business, the products and the services that generate our profits, and understanding their cost structure and the dynamics of those businesses as to why they buy, why the consumer has a need, what solution they're looking for, and how do they measure value in relation to price, quality, and other factors. Once we understand where our current success is coming from, then we have to let go out there and look for other customers, other prospects that have those same needs, those same characteristics. And that's the simplest way to grow our business beyond our existing customers. There's kind of an intermediate step in there, and I want to back up and talk about that. We may be able to grow through selling more customers, more products to existing customers. We may add a product. We may let them know about something that we're doing that a customer may not be aware that we can do. So if we're a service provider, we may let them know, like if we're placing employees, you know, contract employees and things, we may let them know that, well, we not only do IT consultants, but we can also place accountants. Or if we're a cleaning company, we may let them know we not only clean homes, we clean offices and vice versa. So it's understanding, again, our current customers and seeing if there are opportunities to serve them in a deeper way with more products and services. And then it's also the next step then is looking for more customers just like those that we have that we're profitable with, that we're successfully serving. And that's a homogeneous way, a way of similars to expand our business and do it in a way that we're doing it to grow what we're already good at and we know how to deliver. And so when we're deciding how to reach those customers and what customers we want to reach, One step we have to look back at in is operationally. So we can decide these are where our financial results are, this is where we make money, and these are the customers and the type of customers we want to go out and grow and pursue. But we have to also have a reality of what is our current business operations, our current structure, how much can it support? What is our current capacity? Where would our bottlenecks be to serve more customers? I frequently get referrals from marketing companies where they've gone into a business and the business has brought them in to increase their profile, to get more customers in the door, to come up with a new advertising campaign and business development marketing. The whole campaign might be new websites, brochures, logos, branding, and all those kind of things. And the marketing company's calling and saying, can you please come in and work with this client? They're mad at us. And I'm like, why are they mad at you? They're mad at them because when they turned on all that new business, they weren't as the customer wasn't prepared for all those new customers. So the marketing company's client, that business that came in and said, we want more business, get us more business. And the marketing firm comes in, does a wonderful job and generates all this new business. The problem is the systems within the business themselves, the delivery of the product, maybe the manufacturing, the number of people that can provide the service. So like if you're an IT consulting company and you send people around to troubleshoot businesses' IT services, their computers, their email, and those kind of things, and you have 10 employees and they're maxed out now and you add 100 new customers, then something's going to suffer. If the employees, number of employees, the systems and the structures you have, the customer service, the accounts payable, the accounts receivable department, all of those kind of things are at the max now, then adding 100 customers is going to create a critical issue for your business. It's a tipping point because you're either going to serve the new customers coming in that you've had this marketing firm bring in, or you're going to serve the old customers. Because when you're at capacity, when you're at a bottleneck, and you add more demands on that, something's going to suffer. It's going to be the quality of the service, the speed of the service. Something's going to break. And with the marketing firms calling and saying, help, we did what they want us to do, and now they're mad at us because guess what happens when you reach capacity, you try to put more capacity on that business, it breaks. And so one particular project stands out in my mind because the company wanted to go from being a $3 million company a year to a $7 million company in a year. So the marketing firm did everything right. They turned on that lead generator. They helped them have the messaging and the branding, and the website was gorgeous and everything was working. Well, within about 6 months, that company went from being a $3 million company to less than $1 million. Because what happened was the existing customer base walked away when the quality suffered, when the responsiveness wasn't there, when they couldn't maintain the standard for serving those existing customers. And the other thing was the new customers coming in didn't like the company either. They came in expecting quality service, the value, dependability, speed, and what they got was unreliability, wait times, improperly executed projects, a mess. And so what we need to understand is, yes, when we grow, we have to invest to prepare to grow. We have to know if we have 20 employees and they're capable of supporting 200 customers, then how many employees are we going to need? Are they maxed out at those 20 employees maxed out, or do they have space for 10 or 15 more customers? What's the timing to get somebody up to speed, to recruit somebody, to hire somebody, to get them to know how you do business and how you want them to serve the customer, how you want them to sell or deliver the product in your business? So we kind of have to create a timeline. We get a knowledge of how our business is working right now. Our financials tell us what we're good at, who we want to pursue as prospective customers, how we want to make additional sales. And then we're going to look at our operations and say, are we capable of supporting more sales? If so, how many more? And at what point do we need to start planning to bring in additional capacity, whether that's equipment, people, or both? We have to understand what will constrain our organization to maintaining quality of service, dependability, quality of product, and reliability for our customers. Because if not, we'll be that $3 million company that when we turn on the sales machine, fails and slides back to being less than a third of the size they started out at and struggling to actually survive as a business. Because not only did they alienate new customers and existing customers, they damaged their reputation that had built them to that $3 million company. So when we're looking at the capacity of our business, understand we need to look at all aspects of the capacity. And that gets us back to the financials too. Because a business grows as fast as its cash flow and its capital access will enable it to grow. So a business needs to sit down and understand what the investment would be to add capacity to the business. And what is the timing for taking that new capacity from being a pure expense, an addition of capacity, to being revenue-generating capacity? And there is a timing difference in 99% of the businesses. You may hire somebody with years of experience with your particular product. It's going to take them a few weeks at least to get up to speed with how you do business, your policies, your procedures, introduced to customers, all of those kind of things. And even in that 3 weeks, that can be a significant investment for a small business. So timing the addition of new capacity, whether it's people or equipment, is important to developing the strategy for how you're going to grow your business. And you may need to shift resources within your organization. And what I mean by that is, if you've looked at your business and you've seen what customers, what product lines, what lines of business are profitable, you may be reaching a point that you can gain capacity by no longer doing one of the lines of business you've done in the past. And that may mean you can transfer those resources and equipment and people over to the profitable part of your business, or it may mean you need to change your business by letting people go, selling off equipment, or making some other types of structural changes to your organization. And those are tough to do, especially when you have relationships with your employees, especially in an economy where you know it might be hard for those employees that you valued all those years to find another job, to make a transition. But the reality is, like the captain of a ship staring around an iceberg, if you want the ship to survive, you have to look at not just the part of the business that you can see above the water, but you have to look at what's underlying the water and what could sink your ship. And that means making tough decisions and trade-offs. May you have to make them gradually, because you're not going to leave, just shut off customers that you've had for years, even if they aren't profitable. You're not going to back out of contracts when you're promised to execute them. So you have to make a plan, a strategic plan, that are based on where you want to go, that are based on goals and the reality of your business. And what does that look like for your business? What is that expectation? What is that strategy, that timeline, those milestones that you're going to create to grow your business? Well, after the break, we'll find out some of those steps and those strategies you need to take to make sure your business is functioning the way it needs to be in order to grow. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Focus on Business. Focus on Business, and as our underwriter for today's program, we'd like to thank Focus Resources. And if you'd like to learn more about this organization that supports WCFM and underwrites Focus on Business, you can visit their website, focusresourcesinc.com. Thanks to Focus Resources and all the station's underwriters.
forgotten. The white resembles innocence. In some ways we've been lost in. The blue, it stands for vigilance and holding fast to righteousness. But have we lost our way? The stars are for remembering the glory and the victory, where proudly we can say, this is freedom. This is freedom. Where strength and confidence collide along the straight and narrow. When peace is found in sacrifice by patriots and heroes, where grace abounds and evil dies, truth resounds above the lies. It's only found one way, and here we are today.
That's Justin Unger performing This Is Freedom, and that's an apt ballad or song for our theme today of business growth. Financial freedom is one of the things that we can experience here in the United States, and we are blessed with that, and we're talking about that topic today. How can we grow our business regardless of the economic times? And before the break, we were talking about business growth requiring cash and it being critical to how we can set a realistic strategic path to growing our business. The faster we want to grow, the more aggressively we want to grow, the more access we need to cash and to capital. Whether we're generating that from operational sales and revenues in our business, or whether we're going to the capital markets to borrow those funds. So equity or debt, we still need sound business fundamentals, and that's what we're talking about today. So we've talked about finding the right customer profile, our profitable lines of business, our clients, our activities, and our services, and understanding the demographics, the economics, and the buying profile of those customers, from the size and frequency of purchase to why they buy and what problems and needs they're making those purchases to solve. And so we've moved on from understanding our customers to understanding our capacity of our existing operation and our ability to serve more customers as they come in. So we need to know the true cost of our products, our customer service, and our other activities. And based on that information, we need to step back in our organization and say, our goal is to grow our business. If we're a $3 million business and we want to become a $7 million business, we're not going to do that overnight. We don't have the capacity or the funding, 9 times out of 10, to just more than double the size of our business. So we need to look at growing from a $3 million company, say, to a $7 million company, or from a $300,000 company to a $700,000 company or a $1 million company by looking at our business fundamentals. And that starts by setting specific stretch goals that are reasonable, that are realistic, but challenge us to reach those. And so with each client, I work with them to create specific measurable goals based on their current sales, their current cash flows, and their current profit levels. And so whether they're struggling to be profitable now or whether they are a profitable business, it all begins with understanding what are the fundamentals of our business now, where do we stand financially, and where do we want to be in 3 months, in 6 months, in 1 year, in 3 years, and in 5 years. The more successful you are right now and the better the cash flow picture, the more we can look at a 1 year or a 5 year time horizon. But the more limited your capital access, the less the cash flow that's right there right now, and the more ambitious your growth target, the more we need to examine how the cash is going to come into the business, how we're going to access that, and how we're going to address those issues. So let's say we're a $300,000 business. And we want to double in size. We want to become a $600,000 business in 3 years. What does that look like? What kind of cash is that going to take? How much do we have to increase our capacity? How many employees of what type will we have to hire? What will we have to pay them? How long will it take us to recruit them? How long will it take us to train them and get them generating revenue or helping to generate revenue? We have one client we've been working with. We went through their 20-some employees, identified how much sales per employee they were generating in revenue, how much they cost, how many billable hours were generated, how many unbillable hours were there, how much time was spent marketing, how much customer service and stuff was going on. And we began to create a numeric picture of that business that then could be translated into a numeric set of targets, of goals. We had a revenue growth picture of 10% for the first year. We wanted profits to double in that first year. So we wanted 100% growth in profits because their profits weren't being maximized even with the current customers because of certain lines of business they had that weren't profitable. And more importantly, month to month, they needed to improve their cash flow picture. So the conversion of cash from getting the assets, whether that was employees, whether that was equipment, whatever it was to provide their products and their services to their customer, how long did it take from the time they acquired, they spent the money to get those inputs, let's call them inputs, into the production process, to when they got paid by the customer and got cash in to pay their bills? So one of their biggest stresses was the fact that every time they had to make payroll, they were afraid they wouldn't have the cash coming in from the clients to do that. And it wasn't that their credit policy was the wrong credit policy. They had a great terms going out to their clients. Problem was the clients weren't meeting those credit terms. And so they were financing essentially their clients at no cost, at zero interest, because it didn't matter if the clients paid on time or they paid 45 or 60 days late, the client still paid the same amount. And so we had to work on credit terms, speeding up payments from customers and making incentives for the customers to pay when they were supposed to pay. And by changing that cash flow picture, we were also able to look at how much cash was coming in to retire old debt, to pay taxes, to deal with payroll bills, to focus on generating sufficient cash for current operations and sufficient cash and profits to enable them to get a loan to expand their business. Businesses that are not in debt have more options. But sometimes, due to timing issues when we're growing our business, from the time we need to add the capacity to when it can be generating revenue, profits, and cash flow, there's a timing difference between those. And so we want to take that timing difference and work with our bankers, work with other lenders to enable us to get the money when we need to invest it, to build the business so that we're going to generate those cash flows that are necessary to repay that debt. And so that means working closely with our bankers, with other financial institutions, to be able to generate funding when we need it and to be able to demonstrate that we have a plan for being able to be in business, to grow our business, to generate revenues, profits, and cash to repay that loan that we've gotten, whether that's, you know, a short-term loan, you know, it's just a little bit of working capital, or whether that's a longer-term loan when we need to really put in, you know, significant investments of six figures or seven figures of equipment, people, and buildings capacity to serve our customers. And so we're looking at those metrics, and each customer, each client of mine has to look at it uniquely. There are similarities in that we're setting revenue, profit, cash, and cash reserve goals. But the reality is every business that creates a strategic growth plan needs to understand, what are those targets? Is it 4% revenue growth? Is it 10% growth in profits? What's the actual cash in hand that you need to have and know it's going to be there at the end of every month to pay your bills, to make payroll, to make the payment to the bank, to keep the lights on? And so we need to translate our vision for our business into the reality of, this is what it's going to cost to be that business size and serve this number of customers. And so we look at the cash conversion cycle. If you have inventory, how much inventory is on the shelf and how fast do you sell it and you turn it over? What kind of credit terms are you getting from your vendors so that you have that cash conversion cycle maximized so that you're getting cash in as quickly as you can and you're paying it out in a reasonable amount of time to your vendors and you're able to keep them happy too. And we also want to look at that return on investment that if we're asking from the banks or potentially an equity investor in our business, what is their expectations for the return on investment and when do they want to get their money back? And so we need to understand those dynamics and how we grow our business. And those are the business fundamentals that we really have to think about as we're going out into the organizations, as we're going out to talk to bankers. We need a plan that says, I can go down and sit in front of my banker and I can have an intelligent conversation with him about my existing customer base. How profitable are they? How much money do I make on a certain product, a line of business? What's the average sale of my customer? How many customers do I need to generate $600,000 in revenue? What is the timing? Where are my investment points? How will I use that capital that I'm getting from the bank? The more we know, the more we can articulate, the more we can put in writing and show that we've done the homework in analyzing our customers, where they fit in the market, where are they in the marketplace, how do they get their information, how do they make their buying decisions. The more of an expert we are in our customer, in our business, in our marketplace, in the economy, and how different things outside of our business influence our customers and their buying patterns, the more likely we are to have access to capital. So regardless of what the stock market is doing, what banking regulations come out, how difficult it may be to borrow, and how many people we're competing against for funds, when we go out into the marketplace and we develop an expertise, a brand that says we're an expert in what we do, we're an expert in our business. We not only know our products and our services and our customers, we know the marketplace. We understand how the instability in Wall Street, in the stock exchanges, in the dynamics around the world are going to impact our business. That means we're going to take steps where we may not normally maintain cash reserves in our business. We may choose to keep on hand cash reserves that enable us to have more flexibility. So before we start growing our business, we may make the decision that in our fundamentals for our business, before we go to that banker, is maximizing our profitability, our stability of our existing business, so that we have some cash on hand. That old saying or joke that says, who does the bank want to lend money to? The person that doesn't really need it. Well, that's somewhat true. If you can demonstrate wise financial stewardship of a business at the current size you have, your thoroughness of knowledge, and having cash on hand that says, look, we've managed at this $300,000 size to maintain at least 1 month of our business expense in there, that says something. So no matter how low your profitability, how tight your business has been, shifting it to so that the fundamentals are there will mean that regardless of how anybody looks at anything else, whether you're publicly traded or not, I'm going to make the analogy because we've been watching the stock market for about 2 weeks now. Businesses will be invested in a down stock market. When that $1,000 plunge takes place or that $200 plunge takes place, there are businesses being invested in at that point, the ones that get their business right. People will always be able to raise funds in a business that is fundamentally sound. They might be more expensive than you want. The trade-offs might cost you more than you want. But you're going to have more opportunities when the business is strong at the size it currently is. And the more you understand your current business, the more likely you are to be able to grow it because you will have cash, access to capital, and perhaps the most important is the credibility in the marketplace with potential customers, with potential lenders, and other people to do business with you. You can get more favorable credit terms from your vendors if you are good at what you do and reliable, if they know you're going to pay your bill, whatever those credit terms, when they're due. And that is the fundamentals of the market. People like to do business with people they can trust, who are experts in their field, who know what they're doing, who know their business, who know their customer, and who have a plan for growing their business. So think of being a strong, financially fundamentally strong business. And think of that as part of your brand. That's part of your cachet, your competitive advantage, that in the marketplace, the customer knows you provide a quality product on time, you're reliable, you stand behind it, and they believe you're going to be in business for the next 20 years. You're not a fly-by-night. They're not sure you're going to close your doors because of financial issues and things. Make it part of your brand to be a fundamentally strong business and use that message consistently. So one of the biggest mistakes small businesses make is trying to be all things to all people, and they make that mistake when they want to grow or in their existing businesses. So profitability is key, and usually that starts with focusing on what you are good at, what you excel at, what is the ideal customer that you can give them the product, the service, the quality, the value, the dependability that they're looking for. And make your focus on those types of customers first. Deal with the customers that you have that you are most profitable, that love what you're doing now, and look to them to point you to other customers just like them. It's amazing that when you start talking to your existing customer base and asking for referrals, asking if they know anybody else that needs what you do for them and what you've done for them, a satisfied customer talking to another business or another consumer saying, I've worked with this company, I've used this product, it is the best company I've ever worked with, this is the best product I've ever used. That means that person that they're talking to, if they respect the opinion of the person speaking on your behalf, is almost sold before you've ever talked to them. It's a warm contact. They're going to come to you and they've already had a glowing recommendation from an existing customer. And that is the power of developing a brand that is based on sound fundamentals in your business. Satisfied customers who love your products and your services will grow and expand your business to serve other customers like them first. But you need that capacity. You need that plan. You need that strategic focus that enables you to understand and convey to existing customers and to new customers, who are you? What problems do you solve with your products and services? What is your area of expertise? Where is your experience? How satisfied are your existing customers? Why do they buy from you and not a competitor? Essentially, you're telling them what makes you different. And part of what will make you different is being a fundamentally sound business who stays small while they need to stay small and get those fundamentals right, and who strategically, carefully, analytically makes the decision to grow and how fast to grow. You grow as fast as your resources allow you to grow, and that means having cash flow. You start becoming an expert in your business, in your industry, in your market, and in your customer, and then start having conversations with your banker long before you ever need the funds. Because the reality is, if you don't know what you're the best at, your core competencies, if you're not tending to the fundamentals of your business, another business will be in your market, building a brand, and getting the dollars and the cash flow to grow their business, to capture, yes, even your customers, as happy as they are, and as much as they love you, if you drop the ball, if they start seeing signs that you're not quite what they thought you were, or you're losing traction, then they're going to start looking around and they're going to shop for alternatives. So you want to tend to the fundamentals of your business. At the existing business, how you're being successful now. And if you're not being successful now, you can start changing that pattern of behavior now by looking at your financial information. Stop avoiding the accountant. Stop being intimidated by the numbers. Sit down and start looking at your financial information in detail. Where do your revenues come from? How often do your customers buy from you? Why do they buy from you? How big is that typical order? What is the frequency of the order? Ask questions if you don't know why. Don't be afraid to talk to your customers. Look at your current customers and ask them, why did they buy from you? What other alternatives did they look at? And then focus in on those customers and identify which ones are profitable and which ones aren't. If you're selling a product or service that is not profitable, it's not doing you any good. So you have to decide, is it the price you're charging for that product or service, or is it the cost you're incurring to deliver that product or service? You have to change one side of the equation or the other to become profitable, or you have to stop selling that product or service. And so the beginning of the success for your business is to work with your existing customer base, to analyze it, to understand it, to find the patterns in the information. If your current accounting information doesn't provide that, then talk to your accountant. Call a consultant like me, and we'll sit down with you and help you understand how to get that information out of your existing financial records. And it's really important for every successful, profitable business to have their accounting system, their financial reports, generating reports that keep you focused on the targets, that keep you understanding your profitability, your cost structures, what activities are incurring the costs, which are your best customers, which are your best lines of products and services. When we know our ideal client and we know our existing client base, we will know how to go out into the marketplace on Main Street or on Wall Street and identify more customers just like those. And we will be able to understand why they buy and how to get them to buy in any economy. The more we know about what information they need, what they expect of us, what their alternatives are, and the more we can develop an existing brand, an authentic brand, a consistency of brand and message that says, we're good at what we do, we're confident in what we can do, we want to serve you, we want to provide value for that price that you're willing to pay for our services. Hone that message and hone the competitiveness of your business. Whether you're just getting started or you've been around 20 years, we all need to take a look at our business and understand how we need to tweak what we're doing to become more successful. For it is out of our profits that we pay our employees. It is out of our profits that we grow our business. It is out of our profits that we support our community. It is out of our profits that we invest in other businesses. And so we need to stay focused on creating multiple ways to understand and look at our customers and to serve our customers and to decide how to grow our business. We want to stay focused on the right customers and doing the right things at the right price and at the right cost. And we want to make sure we stay away from trying to be like everyone else. We want to be successful, whether we're large or small. We want to compete with our in the marketplace for cash, for resources, for employees. We want to be the business people want to do business with. We want them to want to invest into us, to loan from us, to buy from us, to sell from us. And we want to be integrated in our communities in doing that. So the more responsive we are to customer needs, the faster our response time, the quicker we can fill the order, the more consistent we are in the level of care, the more focused we are on serving our customers and exchanging value for cash flow, in exchanging cash for growth, in exchanging how we do business for how we help others. That's what we've got to remember. Our business is more than our logo. It's more than a social media or a tagline. It's more than our advertising. We're more than our products and services. We are the sum of all those parts. And more importantly, we are defined through the eyes of our customer, our focus on them, our ability to communicate with the existing customers to serve them, to identify prospects just like them. And as we get successful at serving that homogenous group of customers, we can look to the next step to growing our business, finding a different customer with similar needs that we can serve with value, with confidence, with competency, with credibility, and that creates a viable business that can continue to generate growth, cash flow and profits, and jobs in our communities. And we need to be focused on that. The more focused we are, the more successful we are. The clearer we are in what we're doing, the more we will succeed and give back to our communities. And so until next time, everyone, you've been listening to Focus on Business with Lee Strickland. And until next time, stay focused on the important things.
I'd like to thank our underwriter, Focus Resources. You can learn more about Focus Resources at focusresourcesinc.com.
www.focusonbusiness.com. Community radio is supported by listeners like you, organizations and companies in our community. Focus Resources supports Focus on Business and is our underwriter for today's program. We'd like to thank Focus Resources, and if you'd like to learn more about this organization that supports WCFM and underwrites Focus on Business, you can visit their website, focusresourcesinc.com. Thanks to Focus Resources and all the station's underwriters.